Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso. We are recording in our studio at the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon today. And our topic at the top of the hour today is the tragedy that's unfolding in Kurdistan, and particularly in the Kurdish province of Iraq. As we've been hearing in the news, the terrorist group ISIS, which is a splinter group of Al-Qaeda, has seized the city of Shingal. There's been more than 100,000 people who have fled the city, and there are many, many of these refugees trapped on top of a mountain. 50,000, some reports are saying as many as 200,000 people have been trapped for days now without food and water. These are the Yazidis, which is one branch of the Kurdish people. There are humanitarian drops of supplies that the U.S. has begun providing, along with airstrikes against the ISIS forces. Now, we have about 5,000 Kurdish people living right here in San Diego, many of them in East County. And my very special guest today is Amina, a Kurdish-American woman with ties to East County, who has asked that we withhold her name to protect her family members who are still in Kurdistan. Amina is Kurdish, and she has family that's right there in the midst of everything that's going on. She graduated from Grossmont College and San Diego State University, and she's also a very accomplished poet who's written some very moving poetry about some of the situations that have unfolded in Kurdistan, and sadly, more of that violence is occurring today. Amina, thank you so much for joining us today on the show.
Thank you so much for having me here, and thank you for covering this topic on your program.
Now, first of all, how is your family right now? They are in the city of Shingal. What is the latest that they can tell us from there?
Some of my family members' family are in Shingal, but my family right now, they are in Duhok. Mm-hmm. And what we hear from Shingal, like my family member, which is my sister-in-law, her father got a call from his brother who live in Shingal. And in the night when they attacked them, he called his brother and he said, come and help us. They are here and we don't know what to do. So her brother who lives here, he told him that run away. And he said, I cannot run away. I have 6 kids. They are young and where I can go. And then they hung up. So after that, he didn't know what happened to his family there and it was chaos. Then the other day, his other brother called and said, I'm in the mountain. My family, I don't know where's my family. I don't know where's my brothers. Mm-hmm. And the other day when he called back, he said, my 3 nephew are here, but their father and the other 3 not here, and we don't know where they are. So they are separated. And still the who called by his brother and who's in America is still missing with 3 kids.
Absolutely terrifying.
So this is kind of terrifying. I put myself in this situation. I said, if my sister or my brother call me, I said, come help me, they are here. They're going to cut our head off. What I should do?
Well, our hearts certainly go out to you and to all of the people that are facing this terrible plight. Now, it should be noted that the Kurdish is a very diverse group of people. They live in 5 different countries. We're talking right now about the Kurdish province within Iraq, but there are also Kurds in Iran, in Turkey, in Syria,
And in Russia a little bit.
And in Russia as well. There are different religions. The majority are Muslim, but there are also Christians, Jews, and Yazidis, which is an ancient religion that predates both Christianity and Islam. And many of those trapped on the mountain are the ethnic group or the religious minority, the Yazidis. You were telling me in the lobby about the way that ISIS was able to infiltrate this city and take it over so swiftly. Can you tell our listeners what you were hearing about that?
My people call me and tell me. They first tell them, we are coming. Then they scare them. So if most people, they kind of run away. And this when, like, the 1,000 people get together and run away. So beside they kill them, they get hurt and they get scared. And so as a group, like, 1,000 people, they run away from there. the city. So, and then they come after who left. They cut their head off. They kidnap their daughters and wife.
And they're even killing fellow Muslims. They're doing this supposedly in the name of Islam, but yet they're killing everyone except Sunnis.
Except Sunnis, yeah.
Other Muslims. Yeah. How does that make you feel to hear these people doing these terrible atrocities in the name of Islam? You yourself are Islamic.
Yeah, I'm a Sunni Muslim, and it's hard to believe, really. It's hard to believe if they are what kind of religion they have or kind of people. But they say, Ashhadu la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad al-Rasulullah, which is the sentence we say it as a Muslim. So whoever said this sentence is a Muslim. So right now, when they use this word, that means they using Islam, and they do whatever they want, like killing people. Yeah, we Muslim, and a lot of Arab tribe who are Sunni, they believe them. And in Shingal, what happened in Shingal, there's two Arab tribes, they enjoyed them. And they went, I told them, this is Yazidi, and this is Shia, and this is Sunni. They didn't know who's Yazidi or Shia, because they're not from there. Mm-hmm. So these tribes tell them, and they go in after them, and they kill them.
Horrifying.
So they are saying we are Muslim, but we don't accept this kind of Islam.
So you denounce what what they're doing. And the atrocities are mind-boggling. We've been hearing stories. You've confirmed some of these, I believe, from some of your own people back there, and also some of it has been in the international media as well, about mass graves, people buried alive in mass graves on that mountain, including children and women, beheadings, torture. And now you were telling me about women and children being sold into the sex trade as well. Do you have any more details on that?
The last news I have from them, I called back home, they said they divide them in two groups. And one group is in near Mosul, and they host them in their place, and they put them in there. And there's few women, they cook for them and they give it to them. They don't know after that what they're going to do them to that group. But the other group, which is in there, they took them to a village near Shingal, a place, which they said they're going to sell these women to some Arab from different country.
So they're being sold to?
As a slave.
Arab men as slaves.
Yeah.
As slaves, too. Absolutely. Chilling. You told me that when they came into Shingal, that it wasn't like they just marched in there, that they had operatives who were in hiding among the people.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. There are a lot of them. They are everywhere.
ISIS.
ISIS, yeah.
Everywhere.
And I heard they are really educated people, so nobody know from there the way they are. They're not going to know. They're not going to have a suspicion. They are ISIS, you know, they think they're like normal people.
And you said they had disguises also.
Yeah, and they arrested a group a couple of days ago, and they found some fake beard and hair, which anytime they want to be ISIS, they wear those beard and long hair. And anytime they want to be like normal people in society, they take them out. So nobody...
How wide, do you have any handle on how widespread ISIS is, both in Iraq and beyond Iraq? If this is not stopped, how far could this go?
I think it's right now it's went too far. So everywhere, they are everywhere. I call them cockroach. They look like a cockroach, you know, and you cannot kill cockroach. Even if you would the nuclear weapon, you cannot get rid of cockroach. So
true.
These are everywhere, and it's hard to know how many there are there, but there are many.
Now, we are also hearing some stories of great courage and great bravery. There are people who have actually successfully, just in the last 24 hours, been able to go in and rescue a good number of those people who were trapped on the mountain. The numbers, again, the reports are varying all over. Some reports are saying a few thousand. I saw one that claimed it was as much as 45,000. We really don't know exactly, but a lot of people have been able to get out, and the largest rescue apparently was led by some Kurds from Syria who went in and blazed a path to freedom for many of the people that were trapped there. So we hope perhaps some of the people you know who were impacted would be among those that have found their way to safety.
Yeah, at the beginning of this conflict, the Kurdish from Syria, which called Yap, they were first one to go help these people on top of the mountain. But right now, all Kurdish from different part of world, like we have, like we mentioned, from five part, like Turkey, Iraq, Syria, and Russia, they become one that are united, and which I think this is a powerful weapon. When people are united, they can fight with anything.
Right.
Yes.
Now, it's a very dangerous situation going in to rescue these people. The Kurds aren't the only ones who've been doing this. There have also been Iraqi helicopters airlifting some people out. Very crowded, desperate scenes on the news of people trying to get into the helicopter. A CNN reporter was on one that was overloaded. And unfortunately, there was a crash that we heard overnight. I'm recording this on Wednesday. Have you heard the latest about the helicopter crash? How many survivors are...
I know the pilot got killed, and one of the passengers who they rescued her from mountain.
So the pilot and one passenger.
Yeah, and the rest are injured. Three kids were like in bad situation.
Out of about 20 people or so.
Yeah, and the only Yazidi representative in the parliament, which is Diane Khalid, was in there. She was there to talk to people and help them. And I think she's fine, but she's her leg was broken.
Oh, dear. And also, there was a New York Times reporter on that one who was injured as well.
Yeah. They have only three helicopter to, they're going back and forth.
Now, you have a brother who wants to join, or is already in, is it the Peshmerga, which is a Kurdish fighting force trying to fight back and repel ISIS. What's the latest that you're hearing from your brother?
Yeah, I called back home yesterday, and they told me he's still waiting for a weapon, to get a weapon and go. But still, there is no weapon, because they said, on the news and everywhere, America is saying, we give Kurds weapons, but still, they just get some light one and some ammunition, but they not enough. Still, a lot of people wrote their name in the list, they volunteering, and one of them is my brother, but they don't have weapon to go. If they have weapon, we don't need any troops from any country. I believe our Peshmerga will be successful by themselves, but the only thing we need weapons.
Yeah, so your message to the world would be that more weapons are needed right away. The airstrikes obviously are not enough. It's a help, I would assume, but not enough. And so your message to Congress would be that more weapons are needed?
Yeah, my message to everybody, especially people, I think people has more power than Congress and anywhere. We need American people's support. You know, we've been like seven, this has been how many days is this going on, and we asking American president, Congress weapon, but they're still not giving us. But right now we need people's power.
And this is basically because U.S. law prohibits selling arms to any place that is not an independent nation. So it becomes kind of a catch-22, because Kurdistan is not an independent country as of now. And that brings us to the next part of the equation here, which is that the leader in Kurdistan, in Iraq, I understand, has come forward now and said that he would support a referendum for independence for the Kurdish province in Iraq to become an independent nation. Are you supportive of that effort? How big a difference would that make? And what do you think the prospects are of that actually happening, Amina?
I do support our independence. I think we deserve that, because if you go back and see how Kurdistan of north of Iraq, like we have like developed, like we have become like a peaceful nation between all this chaos. And why we don't have weapons, because our leader, Masoud Barzani, said we wanted to show everybody we are peaceful people. We don't need weapons, because we don't want to attack any other country. We want to live in peace. And until like a couple of days ago, still he wants to just, he said, I just want to defend my land and my people. I'm not going to go to fight for any reason. But then when they attack us, and what you see what happened to our woman and brother and sister, they all been
terrified.
And so we, that's why now we were asking for weapons, not because we want to like, right, after that go against any other nation, country. We just wanted to defend ourselves.
I have heard that the Kurdish people are the largest ethnic group in the world without their own nation. Is that true? How many Kurds are there?
Yes, that's true. And there are about 45 million people without country.
45 million people without a nation
without
of their
a
own.
Nation. The interesting thing for me, we all want to have our country. Like this 45 million people want a country and nobody listen. And I think that's kind of strange, especially in this time we live in. It. Everybody deserves to have their home, their freedom.
Do you believe that an independent Kurdistan would be a strong ally for America and Europe in the region?
Yes, definitely. Right now, that's the only ally they have is Kurdish people.
Okay. Yeah. Now, there is a petition on whitehouse.gov calling for Kurdish independence. That's one thing listeners can do if they want to support that petition. There was also a rally staged right here in San Diego a couple of days ago where there were hundreds of local Kurdish people and others supporting the cause who came out. Are we seeing other rallies or protests outside of the San Diego area? Is this now a global cry for more to be done there?
Yes, there is a lot. Outside, all around America, there is a protest. There was one in L.A., and the day before was here, one here.
Mm-hmm.
So all around the world, there is a lot of rally, which they supporting independent. But because when we had this all rally scheduled, we were scheduled only for independence. But then when this happened, we kind of mixed, everything is mixed right now. But we're still focusing on that, and we want to get that one.
And this is not the first time that the Kurdish people have faced a genocide or a terrible attack. Saddam Hussein gassed the Kurds. This must bring back terrifying memories for you.
When Saddam Hussein gassed Halabja, I was in Iran. I was a refugee in Iran. I was in Iran because of another war between Kurds and Saddam. But I remember what happened to Halabja because a lot of people, like right now, a lot of people from Shingal, they go.
What are you hearing as the latest from Shingal? How many refugees are there, and where are these particular refugees coming from, Amina?
There's many type of refugee in there. Before this, if you remember, they first captured Mosul, and there are a lot of Shia from Mosul and other, even Sunni, who they didn't join ISIS, they came to The Hague. So beside them, we have a lot of other from Shingal. So there's a lot of them. And basically, when I asked them, they said, we don't know how many, but there's thousands of them.
From what you're hearing from people on the ground back there or other news sources you may have, Amina, do you think it's going to be possible for these displaced Kurdish people, including the Yazidis and others, to ever go home again? Do they want to go home, or do they want to find a safe refuge somewhere else in the world? Might they come here? What do you think the future holds for them?
Most of them, they don't have any hope, because when they talk to them, they said, we don't know what's going to happen to us. And all of them said, we cannot go back anymore. And the reason U.S. got is, I think most of them say that because they feel Iraq doesn't want them because the way what they terrify them, they don't want to stay there anymore. They want to leave.
Now, we've just heard today that there's a movement to replace the Iraqi Prime Minister, Maliki. Do you think that a change in Iraq's leadership could make any difference from the Kurdish point of view or not?
I hope, but I don't think so.
If nothing is done about ISIS, do you have any information? Are there ISIS operatives here in the United States, perhaps even here in San Diego?
I don't know that, but I heard from news they know already. They only know 100 of them, but they said that probably there are more.
Yeah, that's a very frightening
I don't
thought,
know if they are still here or they went there to help them. I'm not sure where they are, but they're from all these people, there are 100 of them American. So okay. I don't know how many of them are here or how many of them are there. So
yeah, we don't know, but it certainly brings up what a frightening scenario, what a frightening enemy the world is facing right now in these very, very violent people that are committing these atrocities.
Yeah. And they're very pretty sure of themselves. They think they're going to take over everywhere.
Very chilling.
Yeah.
Amina, do you have some final thoughts for our listeners today?
Yes, I have something to say, and because we ask for weapons doesn't mean we are not peaceful people, you know, but right now we need weapons. And what I'm going to say is that, like many people, I believe in the power of words, not war, achieving peace through words and more beautiful results than weapons. But unfortunately, the conflict between Daesh, which is ISIS, and Kurds has changed my mind, and that hurts. We do not need American troops on Kurdish ground, but we need weapons, and not just ammunition and light weapons that Kurds are getting from the U.S. right now. We need more advanced, heavy weapons. But based on recent news I get from Kurdistan, we are currently only receiving light weapons and ammunition.
Amina, I want to thank you so much for coming here and sharing what must be very difficult stories, very difficult times for you, your family, and for all of the Kurdish people right now. Our hearts and our prayers certainly go out to you and your family and loved ones, and I thank you for joining us on the Iskani Magazine show today on KNSJ.
Thank you so much for having me.